why Job describes his comforters the way he does. Cut it down just a little, it's vibrating. Job 15:7. Art thou the first man that was born? Or wast thou brought forth before the hills? Hast thou heard the secret counsel of God? And dost thou limit wisdom to thyself? What knowest thou that we know not? What understandest thou which is not in us? With us are both the gray-headed and the very aged men, much elder than thy father. Are the consolations of God too small for thee? Even the word that is gentle toward thee? Now, these words, listen. Are the consolations of God too small for thee? Now, chapter 21, verse 1. Then Job answered and said, hear diligently my speech, and let this be your consolations. Suffer me, and I also will speak, and after that I have spoken, mock on. Perhaps I'll explain that to you a little bit later. Now, Isaiah 66, rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad for her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn over her, that ye may suck and be satisfied with the breasts of her consolations, that ye may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And ye shall suck thereof, ye shall be borne upon the side, and shall be dandled upon the knees, as one whom his mother comforteth. So will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And ye shall see it, and your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like the tender grass. And the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and he will have indignation against his enemies. And now, Jeremiah 16. Verse 5, for thus saith the Lord, enter not into the house of mourning, neither go to lament, neither bemoan them, for I have taken away my peace from this people, saith the Lord, even loving kindness and tender mercies. And look at verse 7, in the middle of it says, verse 7, neither shall men break bread for them in mourning to comfort them for the dead, neither shall men give them the cup of consolation to drink for their father or for their mother. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you in the arrangement of things that there is a day that we can come together for fellowship, for worship, for feeding upon thy word. We thank you, our God, for these seasons of refreshment. We are glad, our God, that we can join in the words of the psalmist who said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. And this is where we meet our God. This is the house where the name of thy Son is honored. And we thank you for that. And we rejoice for the blessings that have been ours this day. But we desire more. Our Father, thou dost know how often we feast upon the foods that thou dost give us. morning, noon, and night. And our God, we would feast upon thy word continually. Hast thou not said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night. And so, Father, let it be the joy of our hearts. We've read portions, and we desire to understand them. So, our God, would you build us up upon our most holy faith, and let our coming together be a time of profit, a time of enjoyment, a time of growth. And for this to be accomplished, our Father, thy Spirit must work upon the hearts of all who are here, and you must empower thy servant. So do those things. And we confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, as you have promised, and all shall be well. We look to thee for good, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Sometimes you come across a word that you have heard, and then you think of it in different contexts, and you understand it and realize that all along you've been using a word, the meaning of which you did not understand. This is what I mean. Years ago, when I was in my teens, I entered a golf tournament, and they had the first flight, the second flight, the third flight, and so forth. And then, underneath it, they had a consolation flight. Now, I didn't understand what that meant at the time, but I think about it now, and I understand perfectly. You have all of these golfers contending with one another, and those that go out and play against one another, in the very first match, if they lose that first match, then they get to play in the consolation match, which means they lost, and now their consolation is you're going to have another chance. I wonder if there is such thing as a depression flight. There is the first flight and the consolation flight if you lose your first match and your second match. But if you lose your second match, I suppose there is no consolation. And that's what happened to some. But I recall that word consolation, and so evidently in the area of sports, golf, or others that enter tournaments, there are consolation flights, which means that if you've had a disappointment, there is consoling. And in the portion that I read to you, the word consolations are also mentioned, and the only person who needs consolations is a person who has had a disappointment. And then when that person has been disappointed in a way that is insignificant or a great disappointment, there is consolation. And that is why I read to you in the book of Job, and in the book of Isaiah and Jeremiah. Because Eliphaz speaks of the consolations of God. Now think of that. If you have had a broken heart, and a man comes and consoles you, how great is that consolation? But if you have a broken heart and God comes and consoles you, then this is something that should satisfy every man. But that is why when I came across those words in the book of Job, spoken by Eliphaz, are the consolations of God too small for thee? Isn't this a remarkable thing? That God comes with his consoling. And the consolations of God in the eyes of some people are too small. Who ever heard of such a thing? And yet, this is the sarcasm. And when you read through the book of Job, so often people read through it with the gravest sort of feelings in their souls. But at times you have to laugh at the book of Job, because what actually Eliphaz is asking is this. He said, I and my two companions, Bildad and Zophar and I, we come and we speak to you. And what we speak to you, they are to be evaluated as the consolations of God. Now that's fine. Isn't that good? When I come to see you, yes, prepare to be blessed. Why? Because I come, and when I speak, you hear the consolations of God. Now, indeed, it may be that if I come and speak to you, you hear the consolations of God. But what happens is that so often, especially among evangelicals, people come to comfort you, and you're more depressed when they leave than when they came in the first place. And yet, they will look at one another and say, the consolations of God are too small for this man. And so, here they are. And these men come, and they sit down, and all looks well at the first. They have great reverence, because they see the terrible condition that Job is in. But finally, they start to speak. And after Job has listened to them, he says, miserable comforters are you all. And that is his evaluation of them. And yet they look at him and they say, why, the words that we speak to you, are the consolations of God too small for thee? And so we can laugh when we consider these words in the book of Job. But if you take literally those words, and if you take them as spoken by another to one that is broken-hearted, and that one who is broken-hearted refuses to be consoled by that which God brings to heal the broken heart, then that person is saying, the consolations of God are too small for me. Then let me ask you this. If in your heartbreak, in your sorrow, in your reversal, if God comes and speaks to you, and God's consolations are too small, then who shall console you? And yet for some, the consolations of God are too small. I'm speaking tonight on the subject, The Way I Am, having spoken previously about Christmas time on the consolations of God, for this reason. It says concerning Simeon in Luke's Gospel that he was a righteous and devout man waiting for the consolation of Israel. So here he is, ruled over by another nation, not permitted to enjoy God the way that he wanted to, as in the days of Solomon. And yet, in this condition, it says, he was just and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And this is one of the most beautiful portions in the entire Word of God. He went into the temple when our Savior was brought in as a babe. And he took that babe in his arms, and he said, now lettest thou thy servant depart, O Lord, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. This was the consolation of God concentrated in a babe. And Simeon saw that babe, and he said, Lord, he said, it is enough. He said, having seen in this babe your salvation, this is all the consolation that I need. Lord, I'm ready to go now. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My faith is in thee. And therefore, Simeon had been waiting for the consolation to Israel, and he saw it in its beginnings. But put this together now. What Simeon saw in the Gospel of Luke was only the beginning. That is why I read to you in Isaiah 66, because that is the completion of the consolation. Here are the consolations of God, and they are brought forth in detail, and they are to be read, And it tells not the beginning of the consolation of God, but the consummation of the consolations of God that Israel shall experience in the future. So, since God tells us in His Word that there is consolation, we're liable to think, well, He's waiting for the consolation of Israel. And yet, when the Savior did come, He was born of a virgin. He was, as the Savior said, salvation is of Israel. Salvation is of the Jews. The Lord Jesus acknowledged that He was a Jew according to His humanity, and that He was a Jew. And therefore, He came to fulfill the promises, all the covenants made with Israel. But when the Lord Jesus came and Simeon saw Him, you will find that in this babe was not only the consolation of Israel, but He was the consolation for all peoples. Why? For this reason. It does not say that God so loved Israel, but it says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And in John 4, and in the first epistle of John chapter 4, the Lord Jesus is spoken of as the Savior of the world. And this is what you must understand. That of all the consolations that you have experienced in life, and all of us, I trust, have had a friend or friends at times to come and comfort our hearts in time of sorrow. But I tell you that of all the consolations you have experienced, there has never been a consolation like the consolation that God has given to man. Because the consolation of God is the gift of His Son. And indeed, He came to Israel, and He was the consolation of Israel. But at the same time, it turned out that while coming to Israel, God also had in mind a consolation for the whole world. And so let me ask you this. Is the consolation of God too small for you? You say, how could that be? The consolation of God, I can understand Eliphaz and Bildad and Zophar coming and their Job and their consolations being too small, too insignificant. But how could anyone have God to seek to console them? And they say to God, your consolations are too small. And yet, that is the sorrowful impression that is given us in John chapter 1. It says this, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. And Christ in Luke 19 said that when He presented Himself and told them that He was the King of Israel, they said, away with this man. We will not have this man to reign over us. And so the Lord Jesus came unto His own, and His own received Him not. He was rejected. And Luke 19 tells us that He was that nobleman that went into a far country to receive for Himself a kingdom and to return. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And so God's consolation is in His Son. The consolation begins now, and it shall be consummated when the Lord Jesus sets up His kingdom. As it says in Revelation 9, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. And that is when Simeon, who saw the beginning of the consolations of God, shall enter into the consummation of the consolations of God. But understand this, that God's consolations are too small for some. And if you will not have His great consolation, He gives you inferior consolations. And He tells you this. He says, woe unto you that are rich now. That is, rich to the exclusion of being just and righteous, to the exclusion of having Christ as your Savior. He says, woe unto you who are rich now. He says, you have receive your consolation. And that is what some prefer. They prefer the material consolations that God gives to the great consolation that is to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Savior says, you have received your consolation. And because of that, Jeremiah chapter 16 is just as true as Isaiah 66. You say, well, what is Isaiah 66? That is a portion that tells us of those who have entered into the consolation that God gave in His Son, and then they will enjoy His consolation forever. But there are some who reject the consolation that God brought at the first. And God says concerning them, do not give them the consolation. When their father and their mother die, do not give them the cup of consolation. God says, let all comfort and strengthening, all drying of tears, as it pertains to those who will not have that consolation that I came to give at first, let it not be given unto them. And all of you who do not have Christ as Savior, I want you to understand that the material things that you are enjoying in this world, they are your consolation. That's all that you're going to get from God. And that's what some do. Some experience sorrow, and they go out and they drown their sorrow with drink. Or today, it is drug addiction. And God says, that is what you want, to dry your tears, to relieve yourself from the heartbreak that is in the world. He says, well, you take it. He says, that is your consolation. But I want you to understand that in my Son is fullness of consolation. And that is whom I sent. And Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and he held that baby in his arms. And he said, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And Simeon and all others like him in the coming day are going to enjoy the full, the consolations that I have for man. So think of this. Think of God in his wisdom and in his power, who knows what man needs most and who can supply what man needs most. He says, that is what I'm going to give you in the future. All right, keep that in mind for a moment, but think of this. I told you about consolation. Here is a person that has experienced sorrow, disappointment, and then consolation is given. And the greatest consoler of all was the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you why in a moment. It's because if you look up this word, consolation, it is translated in so varied a way that you do not realize that you are reading the same Hebrew word. But at times if you read the word comfort, strengthen, to support, to uphold, to take away sorrow, that concept, when you read comfort so often, that is the same word that is translated consolation in the portions that I read to you. And so here are consolations and consolations, comfort, upholding, drying of tears. You say, well, why do you tell me that the greatest consoler is in a person? Because these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 50, he said, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I may know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. And the Lord Jesus was the great consoler. And how did he do it? He did it with words. And he said, God wakened my ear. Morning by morning, he wakened my ear. And God spoke in his ear. And he said, there is a woman with a broken heart. There is a man with a broken heart. And I want you to go, and I want you to console them. And he said, God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I may know how to speak a word in season, how to sustain with words him that is weary. And Isaiah 61 says, the Lord God hath anointed me, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, he has anointed me. For what reason? He says, to heal the brokenhearted. So here is the Lord Jesus. He is God's consolation, and he speaks words that console indeed. Now contrast that. You have the friends of Job. He says, miserable consolers, miserable comforters are you all. And yet, the Lord Jesus comes, and he is divinely instructed. These men are not divinely instructed. The Lord Jesus is divinely instructed. His ear has been wakened by morning to speak a word in season to him that is weary. And read through the Gospels and see how the Savior fulfills his role as the consoler, as the comforter. And I must tell you this, that the basic meaning of the word consolation, the word comes from the word comforter. When it says in the Upper Room Discourse, I will send you another comforter, it's the same basic word that is translated consolation. You say, isn't that remarkable? Yes. But notice that our Savior said, I will send you another comforter. Well, who was the first comforter? He was the comforter. Notice in the Old Testament, God is the comforter. Here are the consolations of God. And so you have the Father and the Son and the Spirit, all of them bringing their consolations. And that is the meaning. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in fulfilling that role of the comforter, as this widow woman is going to bury her only son, she's lost her husband, and now she's lost her son. And the Lord Jesus stops and places his hand upon the bier and speaks words to that dead corpse. And then the young man rises up and he gives him back to his mother. Without saying anything, he has comforted her heart. When Jairus' daughter has died, the Lord Jesus says, weep not. And they laugh him to scorn. Why? Because he said, she's not dead, she's sleeping. And they laugh him to scorn. And the Lord Jesus went in and said, Talitha kumi. And the little girl sat up, opened her eyes. And now, as the son had been given to his mother, so the daughter is given to Jairus. And see the Lord Jesus at the funeral of Lazarus. And Martha comes to him, and her heart is broken. And the Lord Jesus said, your brother shall rise again. And the Lord Jesus said, you will see the glory of God if you believe. And Mary comes, and the Lord Jesus speaks comforting words to her. You say, who is the Lord Jesus? He is the comforter. He is the one sent from God to speak a word in season to him that's weary. And there is no one who can forever heal a broken heart but Jesus Christ, the Lord. A true friend can come and speak to you and give you some consolation, but that heart can never be healed unless Jesus Christ comes and speaks words of comfort to you. Why? Because the Lord Jesus can take a son, like the widow of Nain's son who has died. The Lord Jesus can take a daughter like the daughter of Jairus who has died and can raise her up and give her back to the parents. That is why the Lord Jesus can speak words that are not empty words, and that is why it is so difficult to speak a word in season to him that's weary, and that is why I say, as in the case of Job's three comforters, miserable comforters are they. I've heard evangelical Christians go and weary persons and make them more sorrowful trying to speak a word in season to one that is broken in heart. But when the Lord Jesus comes, he knows when to speak, and he knows when to say nothing. He knows when people are wondering why he waited so long and why he did not do what they think he should have done. It simply says that Jesus wept. And so the Lord Jesus enters into our sorrows. We have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but one that hath been in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And such a high priest became us, and he can come and he can dry our tears, and he is the only one who can do it. Get your greatest friend to come and speak comforting words to you if a child has died, and those words cannot relieve that broken heart. But when Jesus Christ speaks and says, thy brother shall rise again, and he is the resurrection and the life, then this is the consolation of God, and the Lord Jesus is that first comforter on earth, as God was the comforter to mankind in the Old Testament. And now since Pentecost, the comforter, the Holy Spirit, has come, and these are the consolations of God. And Eliphaz asks an excellent question, not of Job, but of us. He says, are the consolations of God too small for thee? And they are for some. In Matthew chapter 11, the Lord Jesus had come from heaven with words from God and with works from God. And when he had wrought his mightiest miracles, it says, they repented not because this was too small for them. And after that, the Lord Jesus does not quote Isaiah 66, but the Lord Jesus quotes the concept in Jeremiah 16. He says, woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which were done in you, they would have remained until this day. And he says, and thou, Capernaum, shalt thou be exalted unto heaven, thou shalt be brought down to hell, because if the things that I have done were done for Sodom, it said, it would have been forgiven, it would have been preserved by God. And so here is one sent from heaven with words and works. And for some men on earth, the consolations of God are too small. And so if this is so, when you go home, you who have Bibles, if the consolations of God are too small, understand that the pittance of the enjoyment of life that you have now, that's all that you're going to get. And the Savior says, you could have the consolations of God, eternal bliss. He said, but if you will not have those, he says, you enjoy these material things of life. He says, because you have received your consolation. And read Jeremiah 16, because in the coming day, God is not going to offer to you the cup of consolation. Thank God, just as friends would come and do for us on earth all that was possible to heal our broken hearts, in the coming day, this is the way that is expressed in the book of Revelation, and God shall wipe away all tears. That is the cup of consolation indeed. But God says concerning you, who say, the consolations of God are too small, this is what it said concerning you. God says, give them not the cup of consolation for their father and their mother. All the things that crush a man, that make him miserable in this world, all of those things that shall be heaped upon you and go with you into the grave, you'll find that at that time, whereas some are going to be consoled, God will say, do not give them the cup of consolation. So, the question is asked, are the consolations of God too small for you? For some, they are. You'll find in the Old Testament that they were too small for Cain, because God, in his graciousness, was reasoning with Cain, and Cain refused to repent and do what God wanted him to. And in hell, God will say, give him no cup of consolation, and you will find others as well. But let me tell you one whom we would not expect to be satisfied with the consolations of God, but he was. You remember Jacob always complaining? He said, all these things are against me. I will go down to Sheol with my gray hair. Here is this man that was continually talking that way. But when his brothers came back from Egypt, and they said to him, Joseph is alive. Finally, they convinced him. And he said, it is enough. He said, I'll go down to Egypt and see my son. And then, just before Jacob died, he was looking at his grandchildren, and he said to his son Joseph, he said, I had not expected to see thy face. I never thought that I would see you in the land of the living, but now God has made it so that I see your seed. I'm looking upon my grandchildren. Jacob says, it is enough. And so in this life, he saw his son, whom he thought had been taken from him, and he saw his grandchildren. And Jacob said, it is enough. I have never thought to see all of this. It is enough. And I tell you that God can do more than let you see Joseph and Manasseh and Ephraim. God can let you see all those loved ones that you have known that have gone from us, from this world into the next. And Jacob said, it is enough.